The problem with Anthony Richardson is not the Indianapolis Colts. The problem with Anthony Richardson is his alma mater. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. This is episode 351 of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for those like you who listen regularly or just listen on occasion. I'm always available to comment on things you hear in the podcast, things you want to hear in the podcast, or just other side questions at write.todd@yahoo.com. To show you I appreciate you, I want to bring up a little story here off the top before we even talk about the sponsors who pay for this podcast so you don't have to. So we're at episode 351 of this podcast. When you factor in the 10 seasons of fantasy football podcast plus other additional Lightning podcasts, I've done Survivor podcasts, Buccaneer podcasts. I've done over 1,000 of them in the last 10 years. Yet, there are some people out there who claim to be fans of mine, who either two friends of mine, or when they see me say, hey, I really miss you on the air. I need to ask you something. Why do you miss me? I'm right here. You just make no effort to listen to free material on demand that I've been cranking out for 10 years that provides an email contact where I always respond. So if you're going to put no effort into that content to hear me and to contact me, I really am going to make no effort to respond to you otherwise. That came up recently with a friend of mine who was asked, hey, can Todd answer this? Yeah, that's why I do this. Make an effort. Those of you who listen, do make an effort. And just know I appreciate you. And I'll always respond to your emails. And let's proceed. Plantation Palms Golf Club pays for this podcast this summer. They will also host my next golf tournament. They are available for public play. You can book a tee time, not in my golf tournament. If you want to play in my golf tournament, you have to pay me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. You cannot book that tee time at plantationpalms.net. You can book pretty much any other day you want. They're right there, and I encourage you to enjoy their lighted driving range, their upgraded Mulligan's Mini Golf, Mulligan's Pub for food and drink, weekly trivia nights, and consider them also to host your private event. Plantation Palms Golf Club in Land O'Lakes. Visit them at plantationpalms.net. Brandon Legal Group will be playing in this next golf tournament. Longtime supporters of what I do. They're a full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. They hope you never have a need for legal assistance. But if you do, you can get a free consult from Brandon Legal Group by calling them at 813-902-3576 or visiting brandonlegalgroup.com. Anthony Richardson will not be the opening day starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. It was announced within the last week. Free agent, former New York Giant failed number one draft pick, Daniel Jones, will get that job. No surprise to me. No surprise to many others I talk to who have followed the expected failed pro career of Anthony Richardson. Why are you blaming the Colts? Do you really think they're the problem? They're not. I say that at the same time I acknowledge their head coach is on one of the shortest leashes in the NFL this year. That's also why he's starting Daniel Jones, to try to save his job. Because Daniel Jones can be coached. Jimmy Johnson laid out in the book Swagger, the two most important traits for a quarterback to have to be successful are accuracy and intelligence. Between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson, I think you can see who has what. It may not work. It may not. I fully expect the Colts to have a different coach next year, and many expect them to have a different quarterback next year. They've had a different quarterback ever since Andrew Luck said, you know what, I'm good. They were hoping Anthony Richardson would stop that trend. The problem isn't the Colts. The problem is the University of Florida. I seem to talk about this too often. And it's because too many people ignore the facts. And there's two things I can't stand. Stupidity and ignorance. So much as Jimmy says the two keys for a franchise quarterback are accuracy and intelligence, the two triggers for me are stupidity and ignorance. I've talked about this on the podcast. I've talked about this on TV. I've talked about this on other radio shows. I've talked about this just in everyday conversations with football fans. Maybe it's because I live in Florida and Florida Gator fans don't want to believe it. The Gators once were a program that could produce big time National Football League talent. Let's do a history of some of their number one draft picks, starting with Jack Youngblood, who played in a Super Bowl on a broken leg, Hall of Famer, number one pick, 1971. You move through to 1978, Wes Chandler, number one. I'm just doing number one draft picks, Wilbur Marshall, 84, Lomas Brown, 85, Trace Armstrong, 89. 1990 was good. Cowboys trade up from 21 to 17, thanks to the Pittsburgh Steelers for trading out of the spot. Cowboys select the NFL's all-time leading rusher, Emmitt Smith. Kevin Carter, 95. Fred Taylor, 98. Javon Kearse, 99. Lito Shepard, 2002. Reggie Nelson, 2007, Percy Harvin, 2009, Joe Hayden, 2010, Marquise Pouncey, 2010, and then we get to Mike Pouncey, 15th overall pick, four Pro Bowls, solid interior offensive lineman out of the University of Florida, selected first round 2011 draft. That coincides, that's the line in the sand. And unfortunately for the University of Florida, it's become more of a line in concrete. Mike Pouncey was the last. All those names I gave you lead up to Mike Pouncey, and then that's where we still are. In the roughly 15 years since Mike Pouncey, it is also since Will Muschamp, Jim McElwain, Dan Mullen, and Billy Napier have led the Florida program for roughly 3 to 4 years each, nowhere special. Funny, Muschamp was an SEC Coach of the Year. McElwain was an SEC Coach of the Year. McElwain was an SEC Coach of the Year the year he lost his last three to FSU, Alabama, and Michigan by a combined 97-22. Muschamp was a Coach of the year somehow a University of Florida team finished 116th out of what, 122 or 123 in Division 1A college football in passing offense. Dan Mullen, what, you had that 2020 year, they started 8-1, and then they crashed in the last three, including an SEC title game loss to Alabama. They've moved on to Billy Napier, and apparently Napier did enough to save his job last year. What does that solve for the future? I don't think it solves anything. So again, there's that line. I gave you all the great names that were number one draft picks from the University of Florida, and it ends with Mike Pouncey as the 15th pick of the first round in 2011. Because since then, here's what you got. 2013, Sharif Floyd, number one pick, first round pick. Didn't get a second contract with the Vikings who drafted him, best known for suing Dr. James Andrews. Matt Elam, first round pick, Baltimore Ravens, didn't get a second contract with the Ravens. 2014, Dominique Easley, New England Patriots, did not only not get a second contract with the Patriots, Bill Parcells cut him before the third year. 2015 is interesting. Couple of good players, but when you're drafting in the first round, do you want a good player? Or do you want a great player? Do you want a player that goes to multiple Pro Bowls and helps you win championships? 2015, third overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Dante Fowler. Didn't earn a second contract with the Jaguars. Jaguars move on from him. Fowler, to date, has changed teams in the NFL. I'll just go ahead and give it to you because it's quite a roadmap. Jaguars, Rams, Falcons, Cowboys, Washington, and now back with Dallas. Does have 55.5 career NFL sacks and 15 forced fumbles. So there are some numbers there. But did he help Jacksonville win a championship, which is the idea when Jacksonville spends a number three overall pick on him? No. And never made a Pro Bowl. DJ Humphreys technically has made a Pro Bowl, but it was as an alternate. So I don't count it. Humphreys did earn multiple contracts with the Arizona Cardinals, who seemed happy with his play. 24th pick, first round, 2015. Nothing really distinguishes DJ Humphreys' NFL career other than that. Like I said, he was never selected as a starter for a Pro Bowl or a reserve. Didn't help the Cardinals become a Super Bowl contender. And when he was on a Super Bowl team last year in Kansas City, he barely played. As a matter of fact, as Mahomes and the Chiefs offense were getting their ass kicked by the Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid never put Humphreys in the game. He didn't play one snap. As bad as things were going for the Chiefs offense, Andy Reid didn't think DJ Humphreys could help. He's not with the Chiefs anymore. Vernon Hargraves, number one pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hargraves didn't earn a second contract with the Bucs. The Bucs did the very dumb thing of picking up his fifth-year option and then cutting him during the fourth year. Keanu Neal was picked sixth after Vernon Hargraves, first round of the 2016 draft. Neal did not earn a second contract with the Atlanta Falcons. So he jumped to Dallas to reunite with Dan Quinn for 1 year, then went to the Bucs, then went to the Steelers. And earlier this year, he announced his retirement from the NFL at the age of 29. And Keanu Neal is famously one of the guys on the field, not making big plays as the Falcons blew a 28-point lead to the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 51. The Falcons defensive coordinator was fired after that collapse. Neal was allowed to continue to play. And the next season, according to some, he made his first Pro Bowl. However, I'll clearly point out the only reason why Keanu Neal made the Pro Bowl that year was because Malcolm Jenkins was busy participating in Super Bowl 52 with the Eagles. So Neal was named as Jenkins' replacement. Yeah. Jared Davis was a linebacker selected out of the University of Florida, first round, 2017. Jared Davis did not earn a second contract from the Detroit Lions, nor did they pick up the fifth-year option on his contract, thus not justifying his draft capital. Taven Bryan, defensive tackle, Jacksonville Jaguars, first round, 2018. Jaguars didn't exercise the fifth-year option on Bryan's contract. Bryan then went to the Browns for 1 year in 2022. Spent the next couple years with the Colts and is currently with the Cincinnati Bengals. No first-round picks for Florida in 2019. We get to 2020, and perhaps one of the biggest flops of them all. C.J. Henderson, again, the Jacksonville Jaguars, making a hometown mistake, drafting a Florida Gator with the ninth pick to grab C.J., a DB. He was traded 1 month into his second NFL season by the Jaguars to Carolina for a backup tight end. That's what the Jaguars thought of C.J. Henderson. Henderson has since also played with the Texans, the Steelers, and as we speak, is trying to make the roster of the Atlanta Falcons, the clown show run by Raheem Morris. That brings us to 2021 and the highest tight end ever selected in National Football League history in Kyle Pitts. And I have to acknowledge that Kyle Pitts' Pro Bowl nod is legit. It is a legit Pro Bowl nod from his 2021 season, where he put up 1,026 receiving yards on 68 catches. But amazingly, for all those catches, for all those receiving yards, Kyle Pitts scored one time. One. Since then, Pitts has improved by one touchdown every year. He scored two in 2022. He scored three in 2023. He scored four in 2024. There have been no more legit Pro Bowl nominations since then. Just questions about what's wrong with Kyle Pitts. And there's just a lot of analysis on the film about how he doesn't work hard enough to separate, how he doesn't play hard enough. The Falcons did pick up the fifth-year option, which is why he's playing for the Falcons this year. There's nothing beyond this season, and I have pretty much ended every fantasy football pre-draft conversation in recent years with the following comment. Good luck, and remember, when all else fails, don't draft Kyle Pitts. Also in the first round from Florida in 2021 was Kadarius Toney, who, much like C.J. Henderson, couldn't even last two seasons with the team who drafted him. The Giants couldn't get away from him fast enough for tons of reasons, and Tony was traded to the Chiefs, where admittedly, he did help the Chiefs win a Super Bowl. Super Bowl record, 65-yard punt return in the fourth quarter, flipped the field, and he caught a fourth quarter touchdown. Chiefs won that game 38-35. That said, did Tony solve any of the Chiefs' seemingly lingering wide receiving issues that still continue today? No. They declined the fifth-year option on Tony's contract that they inherited from the New York Giants, making him a free agent after this year. Tony did not play last year for the Chiefs in the playoffs, missing the wild card divisional and championship rounds, where he was again listed with an injury designation. With the championship round, he carried the personal reasons designation. That's a mess. In addition, in 2025, Tony made news by being arrested in Georgia on one count of aggravated assault and one count of obstructing 911 calls. I'll let you guys do more homework on that. So around the time the Chiefs were trying to get ready to play the Eagles and finish three straight Super Bowls, Tony was being arrested in Georgia. He was actually released by the Chiefs on August 27th, and I didn't even know this. He was on the active roster of the Cleveland Browns in December of 2024. Following his performance in Week 14 against the Steelers, where he muffed a punt and had a taunting penalty, he was released on December 10th. Isn't that nice? What a quality first-round draft pick for the Giants in 2021. 2022, Kair Elam. Some good stuff here. Kair Elam, drafted by the Buffalo Bills. Elam is no longer with the Bills. And Wikipedia writes about his final game with the Bills like this. After playing sparingly during the 2024 regular season, Elam was pressed into action during the AFC Championship game following an injury from Christian Benford. Elam struggled to defend the Chiefs receivers both in man and zone, committed multiple penalties, and was cited as one of the reasons the Bills lost the game. First round draft pick from the University of Florida. Traded to the Dallas Cowboys in March of 25. Which brings us to Anthony Richardson, fourth pick of the 2023 draft, who now going into season number three is not even number one on his own depth chart. Lost the job to a failed number one pick who was brought in this year after failing miserably with the New York Giants. You want to know how bad? Ask any Giant fan. We will not include Ricky Pearsall on this list because it's just not fair to Ricky Pearsall. He's had 1 year. He had to recover from a gunshot wound. And in limited play, he played well. But we're going to know if Ricky Pearsall is worth a first-round draft pick. John Lynch has made mistakes with draft picks before, i.e. Trey Lance. We're going to find out because Ricky Pearsall right now is wide receiver one for a 49er team that is desperate for wide receivers. Their investment of a number one pick in Pearsall, the only Gator selected in the entire 2024 National Football League draft, we're going to know whether or not it was a good investment pretty quick this year. And no, the Gators had no one draft in the first round in 2025. As a matter of fact, they didn't have anyone drafted in day one or day two. Their first pick was drafted in the fourth round on day three. It's all connected. Since the Muschamp, McIlwain, Mullen, Napier era began, the Florida Gators have not been a national title contender. And the reason they're not a national title contender is because they do not recruit and or coach up top NFL talent, as proven by the fact that all of these number one picks made by NFL teams have failed. We'll see if Ricky Pearsall can change that, and the next Gator coach can change that when that coach comes in 2026. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Plantation Palms Golf Club. Thanks again for listening. Email me at wright.todd@yahoo.com with any thoughts. We'll talk to you next time.